Voting Straight. A woman who was becoming interested in Christian Science informed a friend that she was a devoted supporter of a certain political party. Her father and grandfather had both been members of this party, and ever since women had been given the vote franchise, she had consistently voted straight. If anyone said anything against her party or its candidates, she arose in immediate defense. If anything favorable was said in regard to the opposition party, she was equally vociferous in denunciation. She would not even allow the other party to use property she owned for campaign rallies. With much vigor, she asserted that she believed in her party and the principles for which it stood. Her friend assured her that she could and should vote the way her conscience guided, for the Christian Science Church was not in politics and did not dictate to its members how they should vote. Mary Baker Eddy, when asked about her politics, in Miscellany on page 276, answered, "I have none, in reality, other than to help support a righteous government, to love God supremely, and my neighbor as myself." Then her friend observed, "Do you realize that if you would be as loyal to God, the divine principle of all being, and to the idea of infinite good, as you are to your political party, you could truly move mountains?" The woman and her friend began to consider what such loyalty to God would mean, and they sought to demonstrate it in daily affairs. In a short time, she was completely healed of her strong political bias and of a disease which the medical profession had proclaimed as incurable. In seeking to understand the significance of loyalty to God, the woman studied carefully the 45th chapter of Isaiah, where the author declares of God several times, "I am the Lord, and there is none else." The woman stopped and asked herself, "Do I really believe God is all in all, and nothing besides Him exists?" She was surprised to see how much she believed in that which was not godlike, and resolved that such false beliefs had to go to eternal oblivion, for she was determined to be 100% loyal to God, infinite good. Here she took the 7 synonyms for God, as found on page 465 of Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mrs. Eddy, and asked herself some searching questions. Do I really believe that the divine mind is all, and that there is none else beside mind? In other words, that there is no mortal or carnal mind? This seemed a difficult thing to say, let alone believe, when there seemed to be so much evidence of wrong thinking in the world. But in order to be truly loyal to God, she saw that she must not only say this basic truth, but believe it. She turned humbly to God's word on the subject, and little by little, her thought yielded until she could say and feel without reservation, "I know that there is no mind except the one perfect mind, God." Next, the student questioned, "Am I steadfast in knowing that since spirit is all in all, there is no such thing as matter?" At this point, she was startled to see how far her thinking was from absolute loyalty to God as spirit. She discovered that she had been believing that matter existed, that it was substantial, sometimes harmonious, sometimes discordant, and that spirit was a vague, indefinite something that came and went. She resolved that there would be no more such thinking. It was only mortal mind that argued for the existence of matter and had just proved the fact through scientific demonstration that there is no mortal mind, for the divine mind is all. She turned from false material sense and accepted without reservation the statement Christ Jesus made to the woman at the well in Samaria, that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4. She now began to honor spirit as all in all, and soon could see clearly that matter is nothingness in nothing, just a vacuum within a vacuum. She next queried, "Do I really believe that the Lord, he is God, soul, and that man is soul's reflection, and there is none else beside him?" She saw that here she needed a thorough mental house cleaning, for she had always more or less accepted the belief that there were two parts of her, soul or spiritual sense, but also a material body. She perceived that to believe that the material body is man is to admit that there is something besides soul and its expression. She now understood that she needed to spend less time worrying about what seemed to be a material body, and more time, much more time, truly appreciating soul, God, which was the substance of her true being. She agreed with Paul to strive more earnestly to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord.
2 Corinthians.
It was not difficult, as she first thought it would be, for her resolution to be completely loyal to God gave her spiritual strength and courage. Now she turned to principle. Do I accept, without reservation, the spiritual fact that divine principle is all and governs man and the universe harmoniously? That, therefore, there is in reality no chaos or disorder? The daily metropolitan newspaper on the table beside her argued for the presence and power of chaos and inharmony, and she recognized that she had to decide whether to accept this talebearer of woe or the gospel, the good news, as taught by the Master, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Matthew 10.
One could not accept both as true. She resolved to spend the many hours that she had spent listening to analysis of world ills by newspapers and radio commentators to learning more about divine principle as explained in Science and Health, which, in the degree it is understood and demonstrated, destroys all discord. Such a daily program would do both her and the world much more good. Am I firm in my understanding, she next asked, that truth is so ever-present and all-powerful, so infinite, that there is no error anywhere, and that error has no power? Do I really believe that there are no mistakes in God's kingdom, and that His is the only kingdom or universe there is? This proposition almost took her breath away, for she saw how much she had been believing in mistakes. How many mistakes the leaders of the world had made. How many the members of her family and herself. Why, it looked as though her whole human experience had been a long series of mistakes. How often she had claimed, "We all make mistakes." And she believed them to be unavoidable, too. She saw now that all such thinking would have to go if she were to honor truth, God, as all in all. And somehow she wanted to accept truth and deny all faults, foibles, and failures of mortality. When she came to divine love and inquired whether she believed in love, God, with all her heart and soul and mind, to such a degree that there was no resentment, hatred, bitterness, envy, jealousy, or selfishness anywhere, she was prepared to answer, "Yea, Lord, I believe." John 11. On page 520 of Science and Health, she read, "The depth, breadth, height, might, majesty, and glory of infinite love fill all space. That is enough." She echoed, "That word of God is truly enough for me." When she turned to the synonym of life, it seemed as though evil aggressively said to her, "Well, you may not believe in, argue, campaign, or vote for some of these other evil candidates called matter, error, hatred, material body, mortal mind, chaos, sin, and sickness.
But you will all have to eventually choose me.
Death." Immediately the woman denounced death and affirmed that she believed in and was voting straight for eternal life. Then the thought came, "Well, if you do not like my name Death, I have an alias, Passing On. You will have to pass on someday." She was alert and exclaimed vigorously, "I do not believe in or choose to pass on any more than to die, because I know that life is eternal, that it is not in matter, but in spirit, and that man is the perfect manifestation of life or spirit, which includes no death or passing on, no beginning or end, no coming or going." Is it any wonder that such loyalty to the wholeness of God brought a measure of freedom from allegiance to any seeming opposite power or reality? If the citizens of a country should all vote for a corrupt political machine, they should not complain afterwards if this machine passed oppressive laws which took away individual liberty. Just so, if one believes in, argues for, votes for, or tolerates belief in the existence of evil, sin, sickness, and death, he should not be surprised if there are unfavorable reactions and he loses some of his freedom. He has not been truly loyal to God. But what if one should turn on evil, as did this woman, and should mentally denounce it and its candidates or claims to power and reality? If one should declare with understanding that he did not believe in sin, disease, and death, because he knew that God is all if he should pledge himself never to give any campaign speeches for evil, what would happen? Even what happens in Christian Science, health and harmony would be established and maintained. Many individuals in learning to write on a typewriter use this line, "Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their party." We might say, "Now is the time for all true Christians to express undivided loyalty to God." When falsehoods are told about a good friend,
do we stand quietly by,
permitting the lies to be accepted as truth? Certainly not.
How about the lies that are told about our Heavenly Father, infinite good?
That He is not omnipotent and omnipresent, or that this or that form of evil has presence or power. Shall we not mentally declare what is true about Him and deny every such suggestion of evil? As we refuse to believe in or support the candidacies of evil beliefs, but rather vote straight for God and His sons and daughters, we shall find that He is our only governor and that His laws control every function of our being. We shall also discover the peace and harmony which He forever maintains in His heavenly kingdom.